Okay, you guys, let's get started. Our session this morning, be diligent, being like God, being a working like God. Our goal this morning, I just want to help you think biblically about work. I want to help us think about why work is good and why laziness is bad. I think that'll be our goal. I think it'll be helpful. I know work is a topic that teens are interested in mainly because they don't like it. Does anybody here have a job outside of normal chores and stuff at home? So a lot of workers. Good job. Proud of you guys. I just want to look to God. I want to let His Word, letting the ultimate worker instruct us on how we should think about jobs, about work, about why work is a good thing and why working very hard is actually something that God wants you to do. God's Word has a ton to say on work. If you've ever studied it or thought about it, there's so much to say. But one passage that I'd love for us to focus on this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You could start making your way there. And while you do, I'd love to just get our brains kind of churning on all the stuff around why a topic like this is even necessary. Like, why would we have to have a session on being diligent, on fighting laziness? Why is it something that needs to be talked about? I think because you get it. It's frustrating when, you know, dad asks you to clean the garage on a Saturday, or you get tasked with like a whole house cleaning project on a day when you had other plans. In my house, my kids call them side quests. Why does it annoy you so much when you get side quested like that? You hide in your room because you don't want to go out because you know there's like four things that mom is just waiting to assign you. Familiar? Does that mean you got that? Does that feel like something that happens in your house? Okay, good. I think as we think about work and why work is such a frustrating thing, why it can be such a challenge for us is this. The way our culture thinks about work is not what it used to be. I promise you, teenagers 100 years ago thought very differently about work than the way that you guys do now. Currently trending in our workforce, or whatever you want to call it, there's a humongous shortage of people with a good work ethic. Okay, it's hard to find good workers. It's difficult to find people who are dependable and who, you know, show up ready to work, and they're paying attention and they're, you know, giving their best effort. Good workers are hard to find. Laziness is big time on the rise. It's a phenomenon has many reasons. I think the first one is technology. That phone that you're missing so bad these last couple of days, I mean, it's totally changed our culture. Technology and the way that we spend our time. There's so many things for you to be engaged with. I think you live in a world that's full of distraction. Video games, and I'm not mad at them. Social media can be very helpful, but there's just a lot of things sort of calling for your attention, asking for your time, and things that you can easily just get kind of wrapped up in, kind of lost in, because there's so much to do. There's so many things for you to be engaged with. Another explanation for the increase in laziness is actually like parents. And thank you for not applauding, because your parents are the best. But parents are not really parenting the way that they used to. The expectation for kids, parents are just kind of requiring less and less and less and less, sort of just doing everything for their kids, really trying to provide for them and help them. And so people are becoming adults with a fundamental misunderstanding that work is something that's expected. They don't get that. They don't understand that work is like a normal part of life. And because of that, they don't. So, you know, teens are graduating into adulthood, expecting that they deserve to be helped, deserve to be provided for. think that the government or their parents or someone somewhere surely will help. We'll give them what they need and provide for them. Someone will take care of it. A lot of reasons why hard workers are disappearing, but one that I really believe is the main issue. I think it's been an issue for a long time. I think one that you'll totally agree with once we talk about it for a minute is that we have a culture that has a growing desire to be very distant from God, distanced and separated from God. Just think about it. Our culture doesn't want God in anything. It seems like people don't want God, and you know that, in school. They don't want God in politics. They don't want God in their home. They don't want God in the community. They don't want God involved in their life. They don't want God's influence anywhere. And why? Well, because without God, there's no morality. If we can get away from God, then we get away from authority. And that sounds like fun. If we can get away from God, we don't have anyone to tell us what to do. We don't have anyone to tell us what's right or wrong, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Without God, everyone's just free to do whatever is right in their own eyes. We can just do whatever. So of course, our culture loves that and they gravitate towards that. Everyone gets to be, in charge of themselves. If God is removed, then people don't have to worry about being accountable to their creator. There's no accountability. There's no one to answer to. There's no expectations. I can just do whatever I want. No God, no accountability. I don't have to care about somebody judging my life. Sin doesn't matter. Values don't matter. Life doesn't matter. You get it, right? You see it. Without God, there's freedom to live however you want, to do whatever you want. You're in charge. You're the boss. Without God, the only thing that matters, and the only one that matters, is really just you, your happiness. That's the most important thing. I know you've experienced that. I know you know people who live like that. You maybe even have a little bit of that going on this morning. So whatever it takes to make you happy, just do it. You deserve it. That's sort of our culture's mantra. Listen, when we reject God's standard for the way we're supposed to live, then you can do whatever you want to make you happy. Without God, we're no longer made in His image, which means marriage doesn't matter. It means sexual orientation is a preference. Gender can become a choice. You remove God and you can change the standards for everything. And again, that's exactly what's happening. And if I would have said that even 50 years ago, people would be floored. But yet you're growing up in a culture that's just normal. That's how far away we are from God's standard. And I think that does affect everything, but certainly, and it might be strange to think of it this way, but certainly that includes the way people think about working, about that job that we're supposed to have. Culture has pushed out God, and the desire to work hard has just completely gone with it. Why is that the case? Well, again, people are now no longer accountable to God. He's not the judge. We're not working to please God. We're just not living as the image bearers that we're supposed to. We're living sinfully and selfishly and just caring about ourselves. Living in this world that's just spiraling out of control, and work is becoming more and more complicated. And it is and will only become a place that's harder to be for 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day. It's a self-serving environment where people have a flawed understanding of what work is all about. And with that mindset, which people totally have, that's why you see work is this place that is just full of tension and friction. Like, you go to this job and there's just disagreements and dissatisfaction. You have coworkers who are discontent with their job, or maybe that's how you feel about your job. You're just kind of grumbly at that boss. You don't like anything that's a part of it. It's just a place that's just kind of yucky. And because of that, it's no wonder nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to work hard anymore. So with all of that, like, how should a young Christian respond? What's a Christian sort of thought about life and about, generally what God expects? No surprise. Jesus says in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second command is like it. love others as you love yourself. This is the most important thing. When we live as a Christian, when God is our authority, we live with Him first in mind all the time. We have an ultimate and daily responsibility to God. That's the main thing that drives us every day. And a second is that we're supposed to live loving others and serving others. It's just like the main sort of ideas of Christianity. So when God is removed, there's now no responsibility to God. You replace that, and there's no concern for anyone else. It's still just you. This is always the struggle. When God isn't in His rightful place in our lives, it negatively influences every part, including work. No fear of God, no love for others. That's just a perfect recipe for being a bad worker. It's a perfect recipe for just being a lazy person, because all you really care about is you. And that's what we see happening all the time. So with those sort of introductory thoughts, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3 and just quickly sort of look at what God's word has to say on this issue before us. We'll start in verse 6. This is God's word, and it says this: "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who's walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor do we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It's not because we don't have that right, but to give you and ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, don't grow weary in doing good. If anyone doesn't obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person. Have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." So, man, there's a lot going on in this little church here in Thessalonica. A lot of things we could talk about that would be maybe helpful a little bit. But one, I think that's the most important to just get us to our topic, is that there is an issue that these believers are struggling with. They're very confused about this issue of work. And again, it's important to see that this is addressed to Christians. These are believers. Paul, talking to brothers and sisters, notice verse 6 says that in Christ, he's not just talking to unbelievers or random people in their community. He's talking to Christians in this church, followers of Jesus who've been saved by the grace of the gospel. They have that new life in Christ established, and now they're growing in that new life. And if you're a Christian this morning, that's true of you. You've been given that new life in Christ, and now that life is being transformed. You're being more like God, more in His image, way less like you. And that's growing all the time, growing to be more and more like God. And part of that transformed life, you guys, is the way that you work. You're no longer just living for you, no longer distant from God, with no authority other than your own. You now live for God, and you have this desire to love others. Not always perfect, but it's there, and it should be growing. Of course, that includes the way that we think about work. So for those believers here in Thessalonica, they're not living that transformed life. They're not living the way they're supposed to in this area of work. And that's a problem. Were they spoiled by their parents? I don't know, maybe. Do they just hate work? Maybe. Were they just lazy? I don't know. Some really smart Bible people think they just truly believed Jesus was coming back like any second. So let's not do anything else. Let's just sit and wait. A possibility, I guess. But here, it doesn't really matter. Paul's instruction is so helpful on this issue of bad work ethic. These believers who were not working, Paul calls them idle, or those who are walking in idleness. You see that there in verse 6? They're walking in idleness. It's a really important word. It's so instructive. They're not just being lazy. Okay, that's not what idleness is about. It's a word that means disorderly. It's a word that means unruly, living irresponsibly. It's just you're doing what you're not made to do. That's what idleness is about. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're living in a way that's not right. It's the opposite of everything that you're made for. Idle. Instead of being busy with work and focused on work, there's a different way of walking, different way of living. The Bible uses that word busybody. It's working in the wrong things. You're busy with the wrong stuff. We'll talk about that in a second, but it's not what it should be. It's disorderly, living out of line by not working. They're just out of step with the way that God calls them to live. It's a huge problem. And they're not just lazy. That could be some of it, but it's way worse. They're rejecting something so foundational. If you don't think work is for you, what would you be rejecting? Now, I'm going to give you three things from this passage. If you're rejecting work or think that laziness is okay, I would start you here. First, you're rejecting God's purpose for your life. Work is a part of God's purpose for your life. It might not be the most fun thing to hear, but it's true. God wants you to be a worker. So to not work and work hard is to misunderstand a God-given purpose for life, for all of your days. Consider where the Bible begins. Creation account in Genesis. Paul knows God's a worker. He knows that our understanding of work must begin with God. God is our creator, and his creation, he called it good. And work is a part of that good creation. Just listen. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and birds of the heaven and over all the scary bugs. You're supposed to do, you have a job to do. That's what's happening here. And God gives them this, and he tells them in Genesis 1:29, I've given you all these plants for food, every plant yielding seed that's on the face of all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. I've given every green plant for food, God said, and it was so. And verse 31, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Work is very good. And the most important part, I think, for us to understand, this is before Adam and Eve totally blow it. It's before sin. It's before the curse. So work is a good thing. It isn't some punishment for sin. No matter how much you hate vacuuming your room, you can't blame sin. You're just being sinful. Adam was to work, and I think that's important as you think about Genesis. Why? Why did God give him this job, this task to subdue and have dominion so that he could eat? It's connected. Work isn't a punishment. Sin isn't to blame. All this is part of God's design and creation. God's purpose is for you is to work, and our major problem with work shouldn't be that we have to. It should be that sin makes it so much harder. You just go over one chapter to see it. Verse 17 of chapter 3, we see here that the ground is cursed. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it. So we're still eating, but it's painful all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. By the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground. Super encouraging. But this is why work is so hard. This is why work is so difficult. Because of sin, work is now much harder. Thorns and thistles. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Work is now tough. Work is now not enjoyable. And notice one very important thing. It still produces food. We work so we can eat. It's still one of God's primary purposes in life. That's why he connects it to eating. You get hungry every day, even at camp with this horrible food. You're hungry, right? That's a reminder that I need what? I need to go work so I can get money, so I can buy food. Wants us to know that's a huge part. So work isn't a punishment. It's something God wants us to do. God wants you to work. As we look at what Paul says here in 2 Thess 3, we notice in verse 6 that not working is the opposite of what he taught them. It's the opposite of the example that Paul lived in front of them while he was there. Paul says in verse 8 that he nor anyone else who was with him, they didn't eat free bread. He paid for it. How did he do that? Well, he uses words like toil and labor and night and day. They worked hard and they worked all the time. That's not what they were there to do. He was there for ministry. But he uses those off hours to work so that he can make money, so that he can eat and he can not be a burden on those people, and at the same time can live as this example for these people around them. And what a great example of the command that he lays out in verse 10. If you're not willing to work, you don't eat. No working, no eating. That's the whole thing right here. And Paul, he isn't making that up. I believe and I'm convinced he gets that from Genesis 3. I think that's exactly where he gets it. Genesis 3 again, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. You're going to work to eat. So when Adam and Eve sin, they break God's command, and their sin is what brought about all this chaos and disorder, and it made a mess of the way that God intended life to be, sure, but also work to be. Specifically, Adam and Eve were out of line with God's intention and work, something God still desires for them to help get them back in line with God, and that's still true for us today. And we're supposed to work, even though it's much more difficult. And when we do, we're recognizing that we're working under God's order, God's authority. We're working to please Him. We're working to honor Him. We're working to serve others because He calls us to. And this passage here, I really want you to catch this. It's not just about being idle or lazy. Maybe jot this down. Not working, it puts you out of step with God. Not working puts you out of line with what God wants for your life. It puts you in a position where you're outside of God's purpose. When we don't work, we disrupt the way that God wants things to be. So the answer isn't forget work. It can't be. It's the opposite. It has to be to work and to work hard. If you're a Christian, your job is to reflect that goodness to the watching world. It's to reflect who God is and His goodness in your life. Your job is to show the world how things are supposed to be, to show them how life with God is purposed to look. Not working is just not going to do that. This is why Paul taught these believers about work when he was with them. Sure, he taught them about a lot of other things, of course, but work was a huge part of it. It was a huge part of life, and it's good for us to latch on to that too. This is how a believer works and how a believer's life is a reflection of the glory of God. So work, it's God's purpose for you. If you don't work, you're rejecting that. Second thing that you're going to reject if you're going to be lazy and you're not going to want to work is God's example. We should work because of who God is. That's number two, God's example. Paul worked, he sweat, he struggled, and he did it so he could provide for himself. He works hard, so his life is an example. He works, so does everybody that's with them. They're not mooches. They're not leeching off of everyone. They're working, they're eating, they're paying. He didn't want to be a burden. All that's here. Paul isn't saying this for a pat on the back either. It's not a humble brag. Okay, it's good to see this. He's telling them to do something that he was also willing to do himself. You catch that? It's not like, hey, you know, do what I say and not what I do. He's actually already lived that way. He's exemplified that kind of lifestyle right in front of him. And he's doing like double duty. So he's not only busy during the day with ministry, but he's also a tent maker at night, which is not a fun job. He's saying, I know work's hard, but you need to do it. And I'm not asking you to do something that I myself am not willing to do. So Paul is this example, but Paul's simply following God's example. God is a worker. God's work throughout the Bible. We could talk about this for so long, but I know your brains are full, so I don't want to. But just that God is he's a worker. He's a creator from Genesis. He's a sustainer. He's His work in providence throughout Scripture and even in our own lives, it's massive. Think of God's work to bring judgment and God's work in redemption and all that. There's so much there. God is absolutely a worker, and He gives us that example even in Genesis 1, working 6 days in a row. And then He even says, like, work six, rest one. This is the example. This is what I did. This is what I want you to do. So work's always been God's design for us to be a demonstration of what it is to be created in God's image. When we work, we reflect the one who made us. We reflect that example. And when we work, we demonstrate His glory. So why should we work? God's purpose, God's example. But I think one that's really helpful is God's blessing. If you don't want to work hard, if you don't want to be a worker, if you want to embrace laziness, the third thing you're missing out on, the third thing you're rejecting is God's blessing. God tells us to work, and the benefits are numerous. Maybe let's just bring in a little New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, when we work, we're to work as to the Lord and not to men. You're to work first to the Lord, only to the Lord. Colossians 3, same thing. Work for the Lord, not to men. You're not working for that boss. You're not working to please him or her. You're working to honor the Lord. You're working to honor the one who made you, the one who's the best worker, the one who's given you a purpose to work and to work hard. You're working to please him and to serve him and to do it for him. So people here in Thessalonica, they're not working. And Paul could have come at them with so many truths. He could have talked about God's example as a worker and how to work, you know, to display God to the world. He could have reminded these believers that work is a gift. It's from God's hand. It's for our good. It keeps us busy. It gives us something to do, gives us purpose, especially when we work for God. I mean, work gives you meaning in life. Such a helpful, good thing. So many things Paul could have said, but it's not what Paul says. He says you're out of line if you don't work. You're out of step with God, not living the way that God made you to live. And that's just so backwards for an actual believer to be given this new life in Christ and to have this desire to live for him and embrace, you know, his commands and try to genuinely please him, and then to know this truth, like, well, God made me to be a worker, but nah, skip. Like, that's just, it's crazy. You're purposed for it. God intends the very opposite for those who are his, not to have your needs met by others, but to be somebody who's a hard worker. Like him, we're not to be served, but to serve. We're to be generous. We're to be sacrificial as we think of others. We're to love others and serve others and care for others. Bible has like 60 one another commands, and it's all about serving each other and caring for each other and helping each other. Philippians 2 talks about how to be unified by putting others' interests ahead of your own. Like, just so much stuff about loving others and helping others and caring for them. And oftentimes, the best way to do that, it actually requires a little bit of financial means. To be able to help, to provide a meal, to do something in kindness. We need money to be able to do that. That's one of the reasons why work is an expectations for our lives, so that we can actually not only do what God wants us to do to provide for ourselves, but to also serve other people. And what a humongous blessing that is, to be able to do that, to be able to help, to be able to serve. This is what Paul reminds these believers here. He says, this is what I've taught you. This is what I lived out in front of you. This is what you need to do. And when you don't, not only do you not work, but you become a busybody. Paul says that in verse 11. You're not doing what you should be doing. So naturally, you start doing all the wrong things. You start doing all the stuff that you shouldn't be. You become a busybody. It's somebody who's involved in everybody else's business. They're super annoying. They are. Why? Because they're bored. Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So they're doing all the stuff that they're not. They're in everybody's business, meddling, poking around, interested in everybody else's drama, everything and everyone else, because they got all the time in the world. a busybody, get this, isn't actually busy. They're more of a troublemaker, meddling and messing and bugging everybody. A busybody is somebody who's destructive and someone who's only serving themselves instead of everyone else. It's just a shorthand word for just doing the opposite of what you're supposed to be. You're idle. You're a busybody. Work brings blessing. Just think about it for a second. It keeps you out of trouble. Allows you an opportunity to serve other people. Helps you provide for yourself. And look at verse 12. Christians work and they do their work quietly and they earn their own way. Working quietly has a lot to do with not complaining. And when we understand work as God wants us to, it seems pretty dumb to complain about something that God has planned for my days, right? So many benefits here. Let me just leave you with two sort of practical thoughts. How do we apply this? What are we supposed to do as we think about work? I understand it. I get it. It's God's purpose. He exemplifies it. I understand that there's blessings attached to it. What can we walk away with? I think first is this. Young people are often so confused about the right kind of jobs to get. Sometimes I think the messaging can be a little bit confusing, that the best jobs are like churchy jobs, that God wants you to either be a pastor or a missionary or a women's ministry leader or children's worker. Those are the only jobs that count, the only jobs that matter. And I think that that's just fundamentally not what God is saying. All jobs, here's number one, all jobs can be useful to display that image of God for a believer. Of course, there are a few that you shouldn't do. You know what I mean. Like 99% of jobs, right? Ministry jobs are not the only jobs that God thinks are important. Ministry jobs are not the only ones that matter to God. Jesus, yeah, he was a preacher for 3 years, but he was a carpenter for a lot longer. You can serve God and honor God with all sorts of jobs. They all can fall into our calling to follow the Lord and put his image on display. I know it's, you know, early and you guys are tired and stuff, but just one thought here. Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation, he says this, the concept of one's job, it's so revitalized here. He's arguing that all work and all jobs can be glorifying to God, not just the role of a minister. Luther argues that work's not just about what you do, but about what God does through you in your job. He believed that the world is God's good creation and our calling, our vocation, our job, it's to serve Christ in our particular state of life and to watch God work through us for the good of others. There's no such thing as a Christian job. You can serve the Lord and you can work hard for him and you can fulfill his purpose in your life and receive those benefits no matter where you work. You're going to flip burgers at In-N-Out. Amen. Praise God for you and that delicious burger. You want a lifeguard at a pool? I think that's so helpful. I think that's awesome. You're going to be on a janitorial staff, whatever. It's all good. They're all good. Those are all helpful. No such thing as a Christian job. Number two, I think it's helpful to see this, okay? And I'm almost done. So let's just look at this last one. Not working is a contagious thing, okay? Not working is contagious. Avoid those who do not work. Go back up to verse 6 just for a second. Stay away from people who don't work. It's emphatic. Don't hang with those who don't work. It's an idle life. It's a life that's disorderly. It's flagrantly lazy. It's obviously offensive. Be cautious of those people who are lazy, who do not work. Paul gives us instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. He says, no one's to be unfaithful in supporting their family. And if you do, he says these really harsh words, you're worse than an unbeliever. If you're not going to provide for yourself, for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. To not work demonstrates a really fundamental misunderstanding of who God created you to be. God is a worker. You're created to reflect God. to not work is as bad as the fool who says in their heart there is no God. It's that serious. It's on that level. We're created with work in mind, created to rest and play and enjoy, but also to work. That's a part of it. That's a part of it. It's a privilege to work, to use the talents that God gives to display his image to the world around you. I want to say this. If you're a Christian, and as you think about work and as you think about that job that maybe you have now, or maybe the job that's, you know, coming your way here after a little more school, I just think it's so important that you grasp this fundamental truth. Christians should be the hardest workers. Christians should be the best workers. You have so many reasons to live that way, but God is making it clear. God is giving us a great explanation of the way he created you to live. He's given you his example, and he's trying to motivate you with all these blessings, all these benefits. No one should outwork you. No one should complain about the way that you lazily work or don't work. You should be the best worker. Anything else is truly out of line with God's purpose. It's out of step with the way God calls you to live. Represent the image that you're made in, the image of the God who saved you by being a hard worker. Okay? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this passage that just teaches us about work. But I pray that you would help these high school students think rightly about your word. God, ultimately seeing their need for you in the gospel. Of course, Father, our prayer before they can be a good worker is that they be a Christian. Lord, save them. Help them to want to live rightly for you. Help them to grow in their understanding of their need for you. Lord, and for those who you have saved, I pray that you would, God, give them that motivation to show who you are to their watching world around them, Lord, to their friends and family, of course, and friends on a team or friends at school, but Lord, also at work. Lord, what a great opportunity you give us to bring your gospel into the world. God, give us all a desire to work hard because of who you are and because of what you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.